Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Such a great song comes from such a beautiful psalm. I look forward to us going through it together today. Just a few months ago, we lost a hero that probably none of you have ever heard of. His name was Al Haynes, and he was the captain of United Airlines Flight 232, which crash landed in Sioux City, Iowa, back in July of 1989, a little over 30 years ago. That plane in flight had lost one of its engines and lost all of its hydraulic fluid, which meant that the pilot had literally no way to control the plane. The rudders, the flaps, nothing was under his control. And the plane continued to veer to the right, I think it was that it said, as it's hurtling through the air. They decided that they were going to try to bring the plane down in Sioux City. That wasn't its final destination, but that's the place that they were going to try to bring the plane down. And somehow, with all of that was against him, with no control over the plane, approaching the runway at literally twice the speed that he would have wanted to approach the runway, he crash landed the plane. It broke into multiple pieces and then was engulfed in flames, yet somehow 184 people survived that crash. And on that fateful day, things turned out to not be as bad as they could have been. Things turned out to be better than they should have been. Not everyone survived, but honestly, no one should have survived. The FAA reviewed all the data and recreated the situation on a flight simulator, and not one single pilot who ever tried to fly that plane in that simulation was able to crash land it safely, as Al Haynes had done. One thing that survived that crash, something that always survives the crash of a plane, is what we know of as the little black box. And inside the little black box is the flight recorder. My understanding is, and I've got pilots in the room, so I always hesitate to say things. My understanding is it's on a 30-minute loop, and so it always was recording the last 30 minutes. And so the last 30 minutes of that flight, all the instrument recordings, everything that happened, and everything that was said in the cockpit was recorded and recovered. And what you hear on that flight recorder in that little black box is really remarkable. Remarkable for the poise that Al Haynes kept throughout the ordeal. Remarkable for the calm and steady and professional approach that he took. There was no sense of doom in his voice, and there was no sense of panic or hysteria. Now, not many of us are ever going to be in the situation where we're at the controls of an out-of-control airplane. But the reality is that all of us face danger every single day. A lot of it we're oblivious to, and ignorance truly is bliss, right? Some of it, we're vaguely aware of it. Sometimes we are acutely aware. But there's danger around us and in our way at any given time. And that danger can show up in lots of different ways. I mean, it could be financial danger. It could be relational danger. It could be physical danger, emotional danger. It could be spiritual danger. And because we walk and journey and pilgrim, all these words that we have been using as we go through the Psalms of Ascent, as we make our way through this world, the world around us is dangerous. But this Psalm, Psalm 124, is like our little black box that has survived. And it has survived everything that was stacked against it. It has survived all of the dangers that it has faced. It has survived crash and flood and tornado and every single kind of danger that we could imagine. God has given us in the safety of a little black box this transcript. This transcript from David's heart and pen, inspired by the Holy Spirit. This transcript from the people of God. And what is remarkable is that in the face of danger, as we read these words, there is no expletives. There's no sense, paralyzing sense of doom or gloom. There is no panic. There is no hysteria. What we read is the name of God, the Lord. And when you read it, I hope your Bible has capitalized all four letters, because it is His name, Yahweh, the great I Am. His name is what stands out and what carries through. And so hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side. Now, I want to just stop right there before I keep reading, because I love what this psalm does. When you're reading the Psalms are poetry, and one clue you can always have is when the psalm repeats itself, which psalms often do, that was that poet's way, inspired way of emphasizing something that was very important. And remember, these songs were to be sung. These songs were sung by people who were on journeys. And so I hear the worship leader, I hear Wendell saying, if the Lord had not been on our side, let 10th and Broad say, if the Lord had not been on our side. When people attacked us, then they would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger against us. Then the water would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept us away. The raging water would have swept over us. Blessed be the Lord, who has not let us be ripped apart by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the hunter's net. The net is torn, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. So I hope that you will take away two truths from this song that we sing on our journey this morning. The first one is this, that without the Lord, danger becomes destruction. Without the Lord, danger becomes destruction. Without God, danger can destroy us. And the psalm is not talking about danger in a theoretical sense. David wrote this. I imagine that David has a very specific episode in mind as he looks back in his history and the history of Israel. This is not a theoretical danger. This danger is very, very real. This is danger that was so bad that it could have swallowed them alive. It is danger that is so bad that it was like raging water engulfing them, sweeping over them, overwhelming them. This psalmist, David, is remembering a very, very real danger. And it's real because it is coming from people. These are people who are causing this danger. And they are causing this danger because they are angry. They are burning with anger at God and at God's people. Why are people angry at God? And why are people angry at His people? I think generally we could say that people are angry at us. People turn against us. People come against us because of what we stand for and because of who we stand for. And I think generally it could be summed up into those two ideas, that as the people of God, we are different than the people who are in the world. As the people of God, we are strange. We stand for different things. We stand for things that make people mad. We stand for truth that God has spoken, and the dominant culture screams at us for having those stands because of what we stand for, because of who we stand for. But folks, it's really, really important for us to remember that Jesus warned us that that's the way it was going to be. Jesus said, this is going to be the reality. He said, it was the reality for me as I walked on the earth in the world. And it's going to be the reality for those of you who walk with me through this world. It's reality. It's been reality for the entire history of God's people. The church in every age has dealt with it. For some reason, which I do not know or understand, the last few generations of Christians in America have really not had to face this reality. But every fiber in my being says that that exception is coming to an end. We got to be prepared. And I think this psalm helps prepare us. Because the danger is real. And without the Lord, danger can become destruction. And it becomes destruction because it's more than just people who are against us. Ephesians 6 lets us know that our battle is really not against flesh and blood. It's not against the people whose faces we might see or whose voices we might hear. But our battle is really against what is behind that in the spiritual realm. And there are rulers and authorities and spiritual beings who take their lead from Satan, who has set himself against God, and who Revelation tells us has turned his attention to those who obey the teachings and hold to the witness of Jesus. And so danger becomes destruction because there is one, Jesus tells us, who can harm our soul. That's the one we fear. That's the one who holds destruction. And so the danger is real. And without the Lord, danger becomes destruction. Folks, this is why we are committing ourselves, why I hope you will commit yourselves to fast and pray for 30 days for people in your life who are lost. Because without the Lord, their danger will become their destruction. But we can say, had it not been for the Lord, had it not been for the Lord, and with the Lord, our danger becomes our declaration. And that's where this psalm goes. That's where this songwriter takes this inspired song. That with the Lord, our danger becomes our declaration. Blessed be the Lord. He says, we were literally in their teeth. Can you imagine danger so close to you that it is latched on and it has you in its teeth? That's where the psalmist says that he was and they were, and where God's people have been and where God's people will be again. That danger is so close that it has latched on. And the psalmist says, had it not been for the Lord, we were in their teeth. They were ripping us apart, but we escaped. We were free. And he uses another analogy, and he says, we were caught in a trap. Have you ever felt trapped? Can you imagine that situation where there's a trap and it's sprung, and that's where the psalmist is saying that he was like a bird who's caught in a snare, in a net. And all hope is gone. I mean, there is no way out. And then the psalmist says, but behold, the net is torn, and he's able to get free. And when all hope was gone, we escaped. And he says, our help is in the name of the Lord. This is a situation that he or they were not going to get themselves out of. It is only by the help and grace and mercy of the Lord that they escaped, that their salvation came. When things were bad and when things were at their worst, God helped. God stepped right into the middle of the danger. It reminds me of the place in the Old Testament where it says God just comes right out into the middle of the waters with us. And that's something we need to really deal with in this psalm, is because the psalm doesn't say that God is going to keep us from the danger. The psalm doesn't say that God is going to keep the enemy at bay. It doesn't say that we will not get caught in the traps. That is, again, that is a reality for us as we walk through this world. But what the psalmist says is that had it not been for God, who got in the trap with us and who got into the waters with us and who was in the danger with us, and he helped, and he saved, and he rescued, and he saw us through. And things did not turn out to be as bad as they could have been. We weren't destroyed. And the psalm is not full of complaining. It is not full of moaning and full of groaning. The psalm is not full of, why did this happen to us? Instead, the psalm is full of the Lord and of the name of the Lord and of crying out to the Lord, had it not been the Lord who was on our side. The people of God say, blessed be the name of the Lord. The people of God say, my help is in the name of the Lord. When we are in trouble, when we are in danger, when we are overwhelmed, when we are trapped, our first inclination, our human and fleshly inclination, is to cry out and moan and complain and wonder why. But this psalm reminds us to let our first words and our only words be the name of the Lord. And it's not a naive declaration. It's not a flippant declaration. It's a declaration that acknowledges pain and suffering and danger, but that even more acknowledges the Lord. See, I think the psalmist is being very real and vulnerable with us. And so I'll be really very real and vulnerable with you. I had a very hard time writing this sermon. I struggled with this psalm all week long. And to give praise and glory to God and to testimony to the truth that His Word is living and active, cuts to the heart and exposes and opens and sheds light and cleanses and transformed. I can say that this week that God used this word to help me. Because I'll be honest with you, I have not been doing as well as I would like to be doing. I have not been at my best. I have found that I've become angry and mad at the world and at God and at people and at the way things are. And I've been sad. I think I've been depressed. I haven't been able to function like I would like to function. And I've done a lot of moaning and a lot of complaining and a lot of sighing. This psalm has reminded me that I want to do more declaring and more praising and more confessing. Because had it not been for the Lord who was on our side. See, a lot of what I do is worry about the future. I worry about you. I worry about what you're going through. I worry about our church. What does the future look like? And a great phrase that I came across this week was this phrase called future grace. Because what this psalm does, and it's the pattern all through Scripture, but what this psalm does is call us to look back and to rehearse and to remember those times where had it not been for the Lord who was on our side. And we see a past grace. And what that past grace reminds us of as we sing it and as we speak it and as we declare it and as we remember it and rehearse it, what that past grace does is remind us that the same God who showed grace there is the same God who will show grace now and in the future. And so past grace reminds us that there is future grace. And remembering that had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, that things looked bad and didn't turn out the way that we thought they would because God showed up, that is still going to be true today and it's still going to be true tomorrow and it's still going to be true 100 years from now and it's still going to be true 1,000 years from now. And it is going to be true forever and ever and ever because He is on our side in this. We are on His side in this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And so past grace reminds me of future grace. I heard a song this morning that said, I'm no stranger to danger, but I'm familiar with mercy and grace. And to remember in your life, and to remember in the life of God's people when they were familiar with mercy and grace helps me in the darkest times, in the overwhelming times, in the times where I feel trapped, in the times where it looks bad and I can't see how it's going to get any better. It helps me to remember oh yeah, I'm familiar with mercy and grace because I'm familiar with the Lord. And I've had a number of conversations in the last few weeks with folks who are struggling like I'm struggling. None of us are at our best right now. But God is always at His best. And so in the midst of it, I am learning to say, had it not been the Lord who was on our side. And I wonder if you would like to say that with me. If you would you stand? Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the anger of the enemy would have swallowed us alive, had it not been on our side. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for His unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, water would have engulfed us. We would have surely died had it not been the Lord who was on our side. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up.
Sing it, church.
Blessed be the Lord for His unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the blessed be the Lord who blessed be the Lord for His unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name. In the name.